This is Horus Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit. And on Follow the White Rabbit, we teach practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, non-voting politics. It's what you do every time you open up your mouth. And it's a never-ending learning process. And this is one of the last lessons I'll probably ever give you, rabbits. Maybe. Maybe next to the last. But typically, practical politics I always compare to baseball. Baseball is a very exotic game. In America, we know all about baseball and everything else, but if you're an American and you're trying to, let's say you're overseas somewhere and someone asks about baseball because they don't understand it and you try to explain all these different rules, you realize how complicated and exotic this game is. Well, the game you're playing is baseball. Some of the rules are there for reasons. The reasons are unknown until you cross the lines. We're going to talk about something called running east to west and why we never run east to west. The history of the swarm is something quite interesting because you'll notice something. You notice something over and over again. Typically, yours truly never posted on any white nationalist blogs, maybe outside of Ameren. Ameren and the very large stuff, opposing views on Stormfront, very large. But we're not running around, we're not posting, copying and pasting on various different white nationalist blogs. Very rare. Running east to west. Running east to west is something we don't do unless asked to do. Never did it, personally. We generally want to be on places like The Blaze, giant videos with millions of views. We don't want to be on white nationalist videos or paleo-conservative videos with 15 views unless they're asking us to be there. Why? Because that's running east to west. Why don't we run east to west? Horace, why don't you guys go out and do that? This was always the question. I never answered it. I'm going to answer you now because some of you are running east to west. And we don't know whether some of you are doing it because you're just pasting and copying and pasting all over the place, which is true, or someone out there is being trying to be disruptive, which is also true. We don't know which is which yet. Running east to west is something when a consistent message comes live down a particular channel. You cannot fight the energy flow. If there's no competition, it's, in the words of the Beefcake, it's the gray goo seeping in. It's the Borg taking over. There's nothing you can do about it. But there is. There is early on toward the middle. You can run east to west. You can disrupt it. Disrupt it in the short term means you make Horus the Avenger's life a little difficult. Can I get around it? Sure. But I don't want to get around it. That's why I don't talk about running east to west or advertising running east to west. We create a line in the sand. We create a line in the sand of things we don't do. And so if anyone's doing it, it becomes obvious that they're running some type of disruption. You understand that? The only way to disrupt a consistent message is not to fight it. It's to go with it. It's to go with it. It's to run around down any particular channel. If we're using, let's say, white nationalism or paleoconservative, let's just say paleoconservatives, you'd run down all those particular channels friendly to us, and you would absolutely, positively swarm porn them to death. You would harass those channels to death. Early on, you do it quickly. Why? You want to create a bad reputation for the swarm. Well, you're following the rules. You're pasting, you're copying and pasting, you're reporting, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You're swarm porning. But you're running east to west. We don't ever run east to west historically. We run north and south. We only post and report, generally speaking, on the enemy's turf, in the enemy's turf, whether it be opposing views on Stormfront or everything else. We don't use swarm porn tactics. We don't run around harassing fellow dissidents. I go out of my way not to do that. Why? We create a line in the sand. When you create a line in the sand, it's very easy when someone crosses it to see who they are and what they're doing. The only disruptive tactic ever noted against any type of consistent message without competition. We have no there's not another competing consistent message out there. No, there isn't. Not for white genocide. The only tactic would be in the early on, the middle stages, like a year, year and a half ago, to run around swarm pointing. Not the enemy, but guess what? Potential allies. Potential allies who are letting them letting us use their media assets like Stormfront. Stormfront is a big media asset. Don Black has a banner up there for us. He's very friendly to us. He's got the Stormfront up there. You run around harassing the shit out of him before and Don Black and company before all that happens. Very clever tactic. It's something I would have been doing had I been the enemy. Enemy's not as smart as you think they are. But that's why we don't run east to west. We don't do that. You don't want to run with the enemy potentially one morning. Now, of course, some of you are saying, Horace, it's too late for that. It's true. It's still not correct to do. Learn to follow the rules. If you don't know the rules, those are the rules. I don't run east to west. I don't run east to west because if we're ever facing any type of disruptive activity, and now we are facing that, yes, you are. Someone's pretending to be you. Do you like people pretending to be you? I don't. Is there anything they can do? No. Just because there's nothing white nationalists can do against the gray goo doesn't give you permission to run east to west. You know, it's kind of like you got a star baseball team out there. You got pitchers and hitters making millions and millions of dollars. You've got the peanut gallery, you've got the fans. And next thing you know, they want to run around starting to hit the fans. Well, something's going wrong there. You don't pick a fight with a fan, even the fans being a prick. You walk away from it. Learn to be diplomatic. The peanut gallery is sitting there yelling things. Now, I'll be the first to tell you I can drive by snipe at the peanut gallery. You can flip them off because they're always flipping us off. And the peanut gallery, I guess, would be anti-mantra pro-whites. But we don't run around hitting them in the head with a baseball bat. It's a waste of time. Imagine, if you will, you're watching a baseball match. You have a star pitcher out there, Bob Whitaker. Next thing you know, he starts throwing the pitches at the peanut gallery and rushes the stands. He looks like an idiot. It's the peanut gallery. Why would you bother? So we don't run east to west. We create a line in the sand. So if anyone's trying to disrupt our activity, we know about it. It doesn't matter if it's too late, and it is too late. Way too late to be doing something like that because it's too late for anyone to do anything about it. At the same time, we don't do it just because we want to copy and paste and take the easy way out. You don't ever do that. It's bad business. It's bad business to all. Any battle is going to be won or lost on the basics. Don't violate the basics. Why didn't I tell you this 2 years ago? Why don't I want to shoot myself in the head? I'm not giving anyone any ammunition. You know, lots of people that like to know that information 2 years ago. I could tell them that. Yeah, it could create a lot more difficult job for us. We want viable channels. And I don't go around running around harassing. You're not going to find endless threads where I'm doing anything but an occasional drive-by snipe. Bob, none of that. We are here to fight the enemy. You're here to play baseball. You're not here to fight with the fans. You're not here to fight with the peanut gallery, even though they may deserve it. You may find some fat fan eating hot dogs, drinking beer, spitting beer out of their team, you know, and we're here to basically help them, right? We're here to play for them. You might want to swing a baseball bat and knock that fat guy out. That's inappropriate. Don't do that. It's bad business. You don't do that. You don't hit the fans. You don't hit the fans, you don't hit the peanut gallery, even the fans are rooting for the other side. It looks bad. Doesn't it? So we don't run east to west. We don't run east to west because that's a classic disruptive tactic, and you don't want to come across a radar screen running east to west. I don't run east to west. You don't want to do that. Right now we've got a couple usernames out there, well actually, a couple different parties under several different usernames running east to west. Obscure white nationalist blogs way out there in cyberspace. And we are not necessarily talking about what came up on Stormfront recently, but they're running east to west. They're doing so intentionally. They're most likely, in our opinion, they're other white nationalists trying to play games. But we also have several bugsters who copy and paste all over the place. I don't have a problem with a 14-year-old in the UK or someone up in Canada that's very young copy and pasting. Copy and paste on the enemy's turf. Don't run east to west. That's a rule now. Don't run east to west. Run north and south. Fight the enemy. Don't copy and paste just because our territory is well marked. You don't have to recruit in your own team. You just don't have to. They'll naturally come. The weight of a consistent message without any competition is so extreme that sooner or later everyone will start panic because your banners will be up everywhere, your scoreboard will be up everywhere, your team will be constantly on the field playing. Well, you have no competition. there's nothing to worry about. You don't have to run around advertising to that particular side. The fans are already watching. They're a captive audience. They don't have anyone else to watch. No one else is playing ball. Just settle down. And some of them want to run their own little racket on the side. Who cares? Be respectful. Right? You don't want someone running around with your username, copying and pasting, or actually pretending to be something they're not. I'm sure you don't. No, we don't want that. Be respectful, and other people will generally respect you. But we don't run east to west, even if we can get away with it. Just because you have a lightning bolt and you can shove it up everyone's ass doesn't mean you should do it. Doesn't mean you should do it. What's the point of all this now, Horace? The point of all this is the last stage is you have to learn to take some basic instructions. Learning to do the mantra is very counterintuitive. Learning a consistent message is a counterintuitive thing. It's one of the most difficult things for a human to do, and that's to repeat yourself. It's difficult. And the main thing with the fans, when the fans start rooting for the other team or the peanut gallery, is that, well, what we're doing is helping them. They can't see that, and that's what pisses me off, and that is legitimate. What you don't understand is that you're an asset. You're not a liability. You're an asset. You're an asset that's been built for a particular reason. The reason that you think is spreading the message about white genocide, but that reason can change very quickly. We don't know that. You don't know the future. You ain't seen the ninth inning yet. You have to understand when you're an asset, you have to act like an asset. You have to be diplomatic. You have to learn the rules of baseball. You have to play the rules. You have to smile. You have to keep up doing your job. 98% of you do that. The 2% are generally younger, and they need other examples. But at the same time, you are an asset. You're someone out there, the green goddess, we'll call, that you're her asset. At any given time, in any given morning, you could be called in to do what? To be on message. Because you know how to be on message. Just because everyone gets the benefit of our message, all white rabbits get the benefit of the message, they don't get the benefit of being on message or how to be on message. They're not something I can count on in the blink of an eye to be on message. At the blink of an eye, most of you can be called out. I don't care, in the middle of Toronto, you could have some white rabbit swarming. The next thing you know, be handed a message for roses are red, violets are blue, and you'll be sailing with the wind. You'll be in front of a camera saying, roses are red, violets are blue. Another camera comes, roses are red, violets are blue. Another camera comes up, roses are red, violets are blue. That's what the neocons do all day. That's how they control the message. Why? Because they know how to be on message. They're always on message. Their message is always a lie, but it's a skill set. It's a skill set you have. So don't get upset when someone gains the benefit of our message just because they're white. That's true. It's true. They don't gain the benefit of understanding how a message works. They don't gain the skill set that you've gained from being on message. And there is no shortcuts. Bugs is not just about spreading the message of white genocide. That's the main goal, sure. Bugs is a training ground. It's a training ground for practical politics. This is a training ground for the next stage. Some of you will go on to the next stage. The neocons sit sailing with the wind every day, lying their asses off. They're always on message. A handful of them across the world. Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map. Next thing you know, most of the Western world believes that. Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map. Why? Because six neocons sit on national television sailing with the wind. A handful of neocons sit in the national press sailing with the wind. No opposition. Just on message, day and night. Lie? Sure. But these tactics and tools can be used for legitimate messages, for life-saving messages. That's a skill set you have. Most of you, a handful especially, can do that for us at the blink of an eye. And we're not talking for free. Someday you might be paid to do that, right? Just like the neocons. Its messages are very important. He who controls a message controls a society. It's true. Oh, Horace, Jews control society because they control the religion. If that's not an example of controlling the message, I don't know what is, bonehead. If you control the religion, you really control the message. You control historical revisionism par excellence. Yeah. But let's get on with things. Some of you want to take that next step. That's fine. If you don't, you might want to walk away now. It may not be a place for you. Learn to take basic instructions. When I ask you in a private message, don't run east to west, well, now I'm explaining it to you. Don't do it. Don't do it. When someone asks you to do something, just take it on faith. The guy that's introduced you to practical politics, everything about the mantra, by and large, I told you is true. You've seen it work. You've worked it yourself. You now have a skill set. That skill set makes you an asset. At the blink of an eye, you can be a serious asset. But to be an asset, you also have to learn to take basic instructions. If you can't take basic instructions, no one can count on you at the blink of an eye to take basic instructions. You have to be able to take something along those lines. It's not very difficult. Everything's done for a particular reason, even if those reasons aren't explained at the time. It all makes sense, doesn't it? What's another way to disrupt a group? Another way to disrupt a group is you have to, in the words of Beefcake, you have to spread the gray goo. You have to spread the mantra. You're going to have to work your ass off to the bone. You're going to have to give me your life for the next so many months, days, whatever. Give Bob and company your life and soul, just like a spy would. And then at the last minute, the last second, after you've built up some wonderful reputation, you've got to cross a line. You have to cross a line. You've got to reveal yourself, like these guys out there running east to west. And I'm not talking about the ones just posting it, paper posting it all over the place. There's another group, a small group, or one person under a couple different usernames, intentionally doing it, swarm porning, running east to west. And I don't think they're very sophisticated or anything else. They just figured out they're going to harass other white nationals with it, that type of thing. None of which we appreciate. But at the same time, you can go another route. You've got to give us your life. You've got to build up a reputation. But sooner or later, you're going to have to cross a line. And sometimes when you cross a line, it's, you know, it's blatant. You just cross a line. You've got to make yourself an enemy. You've got to make yourself a known enemy. You can't stay in the dark forever. Sooner or later, if you're a spy, you've got to cross the line to sell information. In this case, it's pretty easy. You've got to cross the line and try to disrupt something. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to know if that person's gone crazy or if they're trying to disrupt something. So you always give them enough rope to hang themselves. That's true. It's true. Everyone's asking about Mr. Lewis. I didn't talk about Mr. Lewis for a month because Mr. Lewis asked me not to. But since Mr. Lewis is talking about Mr. Lewis and what happened or what didn't happen, I'll tell you. You know, I'm not here to make sure someone gets their meds on time. And I don't know what's up with you, who you are, or anything else, and I'll give you enough rope to hang yourself. Lennox Lewis came in and worked his tail off. Lennox Lewis built up all these nice videos, did all kinds of wonderful work, came in the last month and worked his tail off on anti-racist Hitler. No doubt about that. On the morning of April 20th, when we were going to release it, there was a mess up. I'll take responsibility for it. There was a rendering coming out of Europe. The rendering didn't have all the credits in it. I made a decision to put it up without all the credits in it. And then we put up Bubble Pop credits at about 4,800 views or 4,900 views, if I think I'm correct. Mr. Lewis then got all upset. He got upset before the Bubble Pop credits, and then he continued getting upset once he was in the credits. He got upset, and Mr. Lewis was also trusted with being able to moderate comments on White Rabbit Radio TV. He had access to the YouTube account. Mr. Lewis then went up and made a big brouhaha over not having credit, and I assumed, okay, fine. He's got credit now. Everything should be okay. He's got a big Bubble Pop credit. We're putting him in for him and two other people, Nordoxen and Hayden. So we're in the process of putting this in. Well, then he came into the account and he took down his own credits. Said he didn't want credit. It was no more a point about credit that we didn't really want to work with him. If I don't want to work with you, I'm going to tell you that. So I assumed that Lennox had sat out in the sun for so long, too long. I assumed that Lennox needed some help, that he just needed some time to cool off. No one in the right mind is going to say they want credits. Then when credits go up within 4,800 views, take down your own credits and say, well, you don't really want to work with me, and I want to know why you want to work with me. You're playing baseball with a guy for several innings. Sooner or later, the shortstop turns around, starts throwing a fit because he's not up on the scoreboard. Next thing you know, his name goes up on the scoreboard. Then he starts throwing a fit because you don't really want to play ball with him. Well, you're probably going to set him down for a while. So I took him off the White Rabbit Radio TV YouTube account. Why? He's playing with an animation. He's playing with our animation. He took down his own credits. It's not exactly stable behavior. He didn't have permission to do that. He didn't have permission to take down his own credits. He didn't have permission to mess with our animation. That's what he's doing, effectively. He had only permission to moderate comments. Generally, if you're going to do something like that, and there's others with access to the account, they're going to ask me first. It's kind of common sense. Certainly going to ask me. They're going to ask Adelheim. They're going to ask someone. You know, so I set him down for a while. I took him off that account. And this was all within 48 hours. April 20th, April 21st, April 22nd. So then he said, it's not a point of that. It's a point of you don't want to play baseball with me. I said, okay, I don't want to play baseball with you. I assume Linux has been out in the sun for too long or something. Doesn't make any sense to me. Then, of course, he starts, I couldn't remember who he accused else of this. Maybe he's talking to Mott, the White Rabbit. Maybe he's talking to Peter Cottontail. I don't know who else. There's a handful of witnesses of this saying the same thing. You guys don't want to play baseball with me. You need to tell me why you don't want to play baseball with me. I don't want any credit. He starts blowing a total fuse, a total meltdown. It's okay. I'll take him off White Rabbit Radio TV's YouTube account. He can cool off for a while, come back to his senses. Hey, we all have our days. And then right around a day later, 12 hours later, 48 hours later, I don't remember, he went around running, aiming for the first base woman with a baseball bat, running around hitting Miss Albion with a baseball bat. Unacceptable behavior. If it's about me, you take it up with me. If then all of a sudden you move the target, it's no longer about me, it's because I don't want to work with you, because I'm not telling you I don't want to work with you, and I'm secretly hiding that, and then all of a sudden making no sense whatsoever, well, then I'm going to think you need to sit down for a while, get out of the sun, or maybe you need some sun or something. Then all of a sudden, if you jump up with a baseball bat and run around and hit someone accusing her of conspiring against us or whatever he was accusing her of at the time, I'm going to throw you out of the game. It's unacceptable behavior. If it's about me, you don't go after Miss Albion. If it's about Matt the White Rabbit, you don't go after Miss Albion. If it's about Peter Cottontail, you don't go after Miss Albion. It's kind of common sense. She had nothing to do with the credits. She had nothing to do with rendering. She had nothing to do with anything. You want to blame me? Blame me. That's kind of common sense. Blame the management. She's just a first base woman. You don't go around hitting her with a baseball bat. Anytime you see someone targeting someone weak or someone that is perceived weak, the only female around or something like that, it's a big red flag. Now, according to Lennox, he hasn't had his medication. Well, you haven't had your medication. Okay, fine. I will take you at face value. I'll take you on swarm honor. You haven't had your medication. I don't have time to sit around and count someone whether or not they had medication. Does Lennox have his medication today? Did he have it next week? Did he have it last week? Will he be taking it next month or next year? And then, of course, Lennox went on a bender and took down all his videos and everything else and is throwing a fit right, left, and center to this day and kept hitting Miss Albion with a baseball bat in public day after day after day over some supposedly love affair. Well, at first it wasn't over some supposedly love affair. Of course, he's never met her. It was over the fact that he didn't get credit. And then it was after the fact that we didn't want to work with him. Of course, what does that have to do with Miss Albion? Nothing. Nothing. See, when something doesn't make sense, well, it's because he didn't take his medication. Of course, I guess that makes logical sense. But the problem with this type of scenario, this type of story, it's very close to disruption. There's not much of a difference between what Lennox did, not taking his medication, and being total working for the enemy, trying to disrupt what we're doing. Right? There's not really any difference. From a management perspective, there isn't. So I can't really tell the difference. So Lennox Lewis got sent home. He got sent home. I can't be responsible if you don't know how to take your medication, because that's kind of not following basic instructions. I don't care. We have injured vets that swarm. Injured vets. And they're seriously, seriously injured. They're on all kinds of medication. I don't see them running around not taking it, not following basic instructions. And when it comes to Lennox's ability to post or not post on the swarm, people have asked that question. Lennox posts under a handful of different usernames, has for quite some time, various different times. Well, who knows? Maybe he didn't take his meds those days. He didn't want to wanted to post underneath another username. There's no law against that. Oh, well, you know, he can always post if he wants to post. He knows that. But no one has the expressed interest to post porn links or all that different stuff, and you're not allowed to gauge in any type of disruptive activity, especially on the main working thread. Wait, you want to question things? Go your own way, put up your own website, do your own thing. We're always looking to decentralize the swarm. Seriously. And that's the question. Why doesn't Europe have one centralized swarm? Because they don't have free speech. We have 13, 14 different swarms going on in Europe at any given time. Well, maybe more than that. We want 100. Everyone's going to have their own little space, and even within their own country, you might have two or three different groups. They don't have free speech. I don't give out the links to anti-racist Hitler when it's put up in Germany or anywhere else. They don't have free speech. They don't have freedom of association there. We have minimal. You know, at least we have free speech over in the States. They don't. So, screw them. No one has to know where they are or what they're doing. Other than getting out a message, and we're looking to build Europe more and more. We're looking to decentralize more and more. So if someone doesn't like something, JP Outlook's been posting pro-Linux links or whatever, some statement that he's upset about something, go do your own thing. Go away. Go away. You don't have to come on. A lot of people post and don't report. Hundreds post and not report. Everyone across Europe, none of them come to the main swarm in the North America. If you want to engage in disruptive activity, sometimes free speech looks like disruptive activity. Yeah, sometimes not taking your meds looks like disruptive activity. It can be one and the same. It's hard to tell. I'm going to assume you guys are all on the up and up. Well, we can assume that. Swarm honor. But if you don't like something, go form your own. Go do your own thing. Or get off message. If you can't follow basic instructions and understand don't run east to west, you're being explicitly told, especially right now. Now, does Linux, I'm going to get emails, is Linux part of some disruptive activity? I don't think so. I think Linux just lost his stuff. I think Linux didn't take his meds. I'm taking him at his own word. We're going to assume Linux is honest. If he is, it'll all come out in the wash. But we're going to assume he just didn't take his meds. You know, there's a handful of different characters posting under a handful of different names. They're not attached to the enemy directly. They're attached to other white nationalist groups, per se, as best we can tell. Running some type of game, doing something. I don't know what their game is. I don't know if they're just feeling out the waters of the swarm, feeling out what they can do, what they can't do. That game will end. It's pretty simple. Disclosing it generally ends it. There's no way to subvert the swarm. You can only just try to disrupt things, and that only works in the short term because most of the swarm is decentralized. Disrupting us in regards to Stormfront or something like that, you're 2 years past that. You're way behind the lines. Disrupting us on the main thread, that isn't going to work. It's going to work. You want to start your own thread talking about your own personal problems or whatever, go somewhere else. To a certain extent, you can do it. To a certain extent, you can't. There's a line you're going to be crossing. And when you cross the line, it may be just aggravation, whatever. Generally speaking, that nothing gets taken down on the blog. You know, Bob's told plenty of people to take their toys and go home. They can't handle some discussion on religion. If they're going to blow up, we want you to blow up somewhere else. Don't blow up on us. So we look for a reason. You know, from my standpoint, one morning some of you are going to be asked to be on message, maybe a different message, maybe at a different place. We need to be able to count on some rabbits to be able to take basic instructions and to be able to use your skill set just like you're doing now in a little bit higher category. Of course, that's sailing with the wind. If you can argue with the enemy, making talking points with no competition is really easy. Really easy. It's real simple. It's easy peasy. But at the same time, there are certain standards. There are certain benchmarks. And I'm not here to tell if someone's not taking their meds or someone's trying to be intentionally disruptive. One kind of is the other. One is unintentional, not taking your meds, going off on a bender. Well, I guess that is intentional, but if someone's on med, if someone's a little out there, well, that's unintentional. Maybe he's born with some type of condition or something, whatever. And then there's another type of thing that's intentional disruption. You can't really tell the difference from a management perspective, so you're not going to bother. You're not going to bother. It's too difficult. It's too dangerous. We don't want people. We don't want bombs going off underneath our feet. Don't need it. But that's the thing. If you guys want to run east to west, go somewhere else. Because you're not going to be happy in the coming weeks. If you guys are looking to disrupt something, go somewhere else. If you're looking to, you don't like the way certain things are run, go form your own. There's no rule saying you have to take down all your videos and burn down everything you're doing in some big pout. Go do your own thing. If you're a superstar, I'm sure you'll still be a superstar. You don't need us. But that's pretty much that. That's the state of the swarm. Other than that, everything's going A-OK. We're right on time. If you look around the world, everything's burning down. Everything's burning down, but not the mantra. Mantra's going on quite strong, quite fine. Onward and upward. But sitting around and discussing these things is not something I generally do. But there are rules once those lines are crossed. There are lines in the sand, if you will. They're very easy to spot. You certainly don't want to cross them. 99% of you never will, never want to. It's just pointless. It's pointless to be picking fights and then moving fights around and being disruptive. Unless you're not on your meds, I guess. I guess not being on your meds is something you can't help. Or something that, it's kind of unpredictable, in my opinion. From a management standpoint. And from a standpoint of a friend as well. I guess that's another basic. Set an alarm, take your meds. You know, not being on your meds, you know, this type of thing, all this type of stuff, running east to west and not being off and being off your meds looks a lot like disruptive behavior. And that's not something we want to be doing. We want to be working towards something, not against something. We want to be working towards spreading a message, not doing things that Bob and company are going to be watching out for those that are trying to cause trouble. Kind of common sense. But there's a few more basics for you. And you guys can go ahead and email your questions or whatever. But that's my particular statement on the particular these particular events. And there'll be a handful of others that'll say basically the same thing. Everyone has their own particular ideals, their own particular, you know, two people can see things the same way, or two people can see things differently. But those are the particular chain of events. And yes, the disruption of the swarm will not be effective. It will not be effective long term. I don't care if the JP Outlooks want to go form their own things. Go for it. You don't like being on message. You don't like being around us. Go away. You can't follow basic instructions. Go away. It's very simple. Now, we're not so big as, you know, thousands and thousands of swarmers that it can't be controlled. We're several hundreds, and several hundred is certainly controllable. You can see when parties are crossing the line. You can see when parties are running east to west. We want to be able to see clearly who's doing what and where. And we are certainly in a position to do that. We're certainly in a position to take the next step. I want to make sure you guys know the rules. And again, if you can't follow them, or if you have some problems, or if you have personal issues, walk away. Go do your own thing. You want to go form your own little swarm party? It's certainly doing. It's certainly happening. It's happening all over the planet. I'm fine with that. We want decentralization, decentralization, decentralization. But don't start disruptive activities. Don't start going crazy. If you're going to go crazy, go off into a closet. Don't do so in public. Don't do so on the swarm, because we can't tell whether you're trying to disrupt things or you just haven't taken your meds. And I'm not going to roll the dice on that. And one, in fact, can be the other, and so far, so on and so forth. We don't know that. I don't know that. But this is Horace the Avenger. You're going to listen to the next. That was 30 minutes. 30 minutes, probably something you've never heard before, or at least in a way you've never heard it. But that's my particular viewpoint on those particular issues. And in the next hour or so, it's me and Truck Roy, and we're talking about all kinds of various different things. This is from about a week and a half ago. But you can keep listening to that, but this is an important swarm update. Just one update. I just had an email come in, and no sooner than I mentioned one character, JP Outlook, which I never really heard about him too much, other than of late. Of late, he's been posting on the swarm. No sooner than I mentioned him, he was told to take his toys and go home by Bob himself. And I've been asked to email, what does it take to Bob say that? Everyone's worried about Bob saying that to them. Well, Bob, every once in a while, over the past so many years of the blog, things get out of line. And what you have is you have someone that comes in, they try to stir the pot, they try to cause problems, and it's just not a place for someone like that. And what JP Outlook is saying, today I will not be posting the mantra in protest of moderating here. Threads that are anti-white should not be deleted because that goes against, that aren't anti-white should not be deleted because that goes against free speech and development of new pro-mantra, pro-white ideals and leaders. Brian responds, and Brian is, of course, the moderator. Moderating is a touchy subject. No one can agree on acceptable levels. However, Bob and I maintain that Bugs will not be a venue for infighting or personal grievances. That is the sole role of other websites, not Bugs. For clarity and extent of any moderation, the vast majority of personal messages are being cleared. Nothing has been deleted since the initial spat. Now, JP, as this isn't the first time you have threatened with a goal in mind, I want to encourage you to take your toys and go home. And then, of course, Bob chimed in and told him, I've seen too many organizations crippled trying to suit the JPs. They are poison. JP Outlook, take your toys and go home. The challenge is, though, what Bob and company are finding out is that there's a handful of different characters that come around, and some believe have come around the swarm bugs before long ago, that keep coming back around in various different names, IP addresses, whatever, trying to stir up trouble. It happens. There's a purge, there's a house cleaning, and then things go back to normal. Those of you that actually post on the swarm. Posting something on Bug Swarm is no big deal. It's encouraged, posting and reporting if you want to. Posting on the working thread will probably bring a response. Anything I post on the working thread generally gets moved, with a couple exceptions. But that's just the way it goes. So no sooner than I mentioned JP Outlook, he got banned. And, you know, you guys running east to west, don't run east to west, run north to south. Don't make yourself unwanted. It's just kind of common sense. It's all common sense. And if you don't want to, you know, if you have some, you know, some ideal in mind of some, you know, as Bob says it best, you know, someone said they were thinking about creating a website of my own, Bugs Without Bob. And Bob's response was, do it. Considering doesn't mean a damn thing around here. It'll encourage you to go away. If you don't like something, you know, it's not a place for gripes, complainers, that type of thing. You can argue your tail off, but there are some places, you know, that aren't encouraged riding over the line on. Now, as far as the, you know, there is a whole cast also of emails that have come in on regarding this particular podcast, because people knew that was coming. And about a nuclear option, you know, being able to run across and hit a bunch of different posts at once at the swarm. I don't have a problem with that, as long as it's north to south. The problem that none of us really have a true nuclear option. And if you did, I would support it. A nuclear option with the mansion would be able to hit a button and post every single available space across the internet. That's not possible. We don't have an all-or-nothing option. We always have to be somewhat selective. And there's places where you can mindlessly post and places where you can't. Many of the best places to post are places that aren't necessarily letting comments through that easily, and you just have to use your head about it. Those are some of the best places because they're viewed by the most rabbits. It's just like on YouTube, some of the best places to post are some of the more difficult ones. And sometimes that changes, but generally speaking, you know, when you start talking about some of these different places with not a lot of visitors, or someone that's trying something new and they don't want a lot of mantra stuff on there for whatever reason, other white nationalist stuff, and they all have their reasons, and you've got to respect the reason. Because in the end, a lot of them are going to end up helping us out anyways. Many of them already support you, so it has nothing to do with support, but they all have their own reasons. They're all trying various different things, and who I'm not against that at all. But we don't have a nuclear option, so we always have to pick and choose. We pick and choose north to south, not east to west. You know, especially when you have banners up and you're all over the place on the field playing ball, well, there's no point in turning around the stands and starting to throw baseballs and everything else. They're in the stands. Don't worry about it. And, you know, if you're wanted somewhere, that's fine. If you're not wanted somewhere, well, the only places you should go where you're not wanted are clear enemy territory. That's it. Other than that, you know, why waste time? Why waste time? And it also, of course, right now we're undergoing a minor case of someone trying to get us off track. It's happened before. It'll happen again. And it looks like a handful. We want to be able to see who they are clearly. We don't want you running with them. Running with them. And everything comes out in the wash. Yes, it does. But it's actually pretty hard to get kicked off of Bucks. It's actually pretty hard. I've seen it a handful of times. But there's one, you know, no one wants bombs going off. If you're worried and upset over every post or someone gets underneath your skin or whatever, you know, Bob will tell you, take your toys and go home. And this particular character, JP Outlook, was worried about Bob's views on religion. Well, go start your own site. That's that simple. Or something along those lines. You can read it. You can read it. It's on the working thread. Well, not on the working thread. It's on the swarm. But anyways, that's pretty much that. So no sooner did I mention someone, it was the kiss of death. Bob banned him. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. But this type of thing happens every so many months. This is probably going to be a little bit bigger than your average, because the swarm is bigger than average, and we've got certain characters playing around under different usernames, musical usernames, which is not that big of a deal, unless they start being they start trying to obstruct things, they start being destructive, they start pulling their racket, running that racket, trying to pick fights, trying to cause conflict. You know, it's trying that normal stuff. Trying that normal stuff that people that like to obstruct things or people that like to run a racket tend to do. But anyways, on to the Truck Roy interview. This is Horace the Venger. You're listening to WhiteRabbitRadio.net, and this is, of course, Horace the Venger's Follow the White Rabbit. It's another episode with Truck Roy. This is an episode right after an animation has come out, which was a very, very big project for White Rabbit Radio. It's a little animation called Anti-Racist Hitler. You can see it at the front page at the top. We are liking the results, at least in the first week and a half. It seems to be doing A-okay. Have you seen it, Truck?
I have. I've seen it two or three times. Very, very impressed.
Yeah, they keep having us on hold. Our numbers aren't real time because so many people are watching it two and three times. They keep on doing audits. You can tell because the different subscriber numbers will go up to White Rabbit Radio, but yet the actual view numbers won't go up on Anti-Racist Hitler or How Whites Took Over America, which has also gained about 20,000 views as well. So, yeah, how do you like the Jew you play? You did a good job.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of comments from friends of mine that have seen it. You make a great Jew, Truck Roy, and I don't know whether to appreciate that or not.
Or not, huh?
Well, I got to say that the other guy, who I don't know, who played the other Jew...
Lennox Lewis.
Yeah. Marvelous. I mean, that was really, really well done. Yeah. Especially that last scene where he comes charging up to Hitler's office. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, it's very... Oh, God! Yeah, funny stuff. It's funny stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny stuff. It's,
Now, you were saying that there's actually some people who were offended by Hitler in the video, thought that it was disrespectful for him.
Yeah, there is a certain group. It's just a handful. I mean, I haven't got a lot of email, but some of the particular quote-unquote people that call themselves Nazis, at least, thought it was disrespectful to bring it out on Hitler's birthday, that making Hitler like a multiculturalist or whatever. I thought it was rather entertaining because it's an animation where, you know, it's 9 minutes long, 10 minutes with closing credits, and, you know, Hitler basically wipes out the Jews with diversity. You would think, you know, Nazis would be excited about that.
You know,
ultimate irony.
Irony is the word. That video, and it's not even like a YouTube video. It's like
one of the Bugsters, or the post Bugsters. I don't think he's a real Bugster. I don't know what he is. I had a couple say, well, you know, it's pro-Jewish. You know, Jews could use this for propaganda. You're not going to be able to use the mantra for propaganda because, one, that's what it is. It's the mantra, basically. If you've heard the mantra, you can go to the front page and look at Minnie Irva, mantra, mantra, mantra. You can see this beautiful white girl do the mantra. This pretty white girl do the mantra. It is just the mantra in another form. With that being said, you're not going to be able to use that type of energy flow, and they're never going to run and grab it. Like I told one of the characters saying that, you know, I would pray that Steven Spielberg would grab it and run with it. I would pray that they would play this on CBS, ABC, NBC, and MSNBC. It'll never happen. It'll never. They know what it is. They know what we're doing. They're not idiots to think it's pro-Jewish propaganda. It could only be considered that maybe from one Zionist to another within the confines of Israel or something.
Well, yeah, they might have a little bit different perspective, but anybody outside of Israel, anybody that's living in white countries that are facing white genocide, whether they never thought about the idea before or not, there's so many different angles in that. And I hate to even call it a video. It's almost like a movie. It's like a 10-minute little movie. And, you know, they say that some of the best comedy is stuff that just comments on life around you. And that video has got to be one of the most – it's like dark comedy – like I've never seen before. I mean, and I know other people will see it differently. You know, obviously there's a few people.
Well, it's open system propaganda, so it's designed to bring in a broad number of people to see a message, and some of them are watching it for various different reasons. They're not necessarily watching it for the same reason, but they are getting an overlapping type of fire, you know, that this is just a genocidal scam. It's a genocidal scam, and we've been conditioned. I mean, Hollywood has spent gazillions conditioning the world, making Hitler out to be the ultimate genocidal genius.
Right. Well, and that's one of the reasons why. I mean, obviously, yes, it's the mantra there. But when Hitler's saying, how can love be anti-Semitic?
Right.
I mean, come on. That's got to crack you up. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The over-the-top and overreaching stuff. And that's one of the funny things. I mean, no one really has a video. Well, not really. No one has a video of Hitler speaking English. We take Hitler speaking English, what we're taking off of is a stereotype produced by Hollywood. We have to play into these type of stereotypes. One of the things, though, I get asked, and this is a very good question. You see, we used a quote from a real, everything Hitler says is something you would have heard before because they're all legitimate quotes. It is very cynical. I take it virtually all the quotes come from a place called California, where even the last quote, no one could have foreseen that, is an actual real quote as California was turning into from whites becoming a minority. Well, actually, everyone there is a minority. It's just whites become another minority. You know, it became whites no longer have a majority in California. And the quote was, well, no one could have foreseen this. And that's an actual real quote from someone on our enemy side. But there's another famous quote where Hitler goes into a speech. And the speech is actually identical. It's the same one Barbara Lerner Spectra gave. She's the founder of some, she's in Sweden now. She's the founder of some PDEA, European Jewish Fund in Sweden. And that is speech word for word. It's just a handful of differences. We're not talking about Europe. We're talking about Israel. You know, Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies they once were and stuff like that. That is all taken from her particular speech. And I'm always asked, you know, well, the only people that are going to recognize that are like those that know about Barbara Lerner Spectra. And of course, what they don't understand is from my perspective, no one could write something that diabolical.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with something better.
Yeah.
And this is true.
Well, I've heard you say before.
And most people are like, okay, why is the Hitler gave this brilliant speech? And someone else said, that is very dark, sadistic speech. I'm like, that's a real speech. All we're doing is taking it and flipping it around.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You know, the darkest humor, the funniest humor is stuff that's taken from real life. And the same with drama. I mean, you've said it before that, you know, the truth is not crazier than you imagine. It's crazier than you can imagine.
Right. I mean, but the complaint from some white nationalists, not a complaint, it's a question. Why would you use something that only we would get? And I'm like, you don't understand. Your race is not as dumb as you think. You can either, if you're educating them, obviously you want to simplify them and make your point. I'm not an educator. I'm a propagandist. I make only legitimate associations. But what White Rabbit Radio does is we put stuff right above your head and make you reach up for it. Whereas our enemy will put stuff right in the dirt and make you reach down for it. We're going to make you reach up for it. You're going to have to answer some questions, ask some questions. You're going to have to challenge some assumptions. And that's the whole objective. That's the whole ideal. And that's just the way it goes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, those quotes that you're turning around, that you're having Hitler use, that are actually used against us, those quotes, not everybody's heard them articulated, but everybody lives in the society where they are the party line. And so, I mean, it's not like it's obscure. We're marinating in you know, the political correctness, you know, that's articulated clearly once in a while.
To be honest with you, because it's Hitler, a lot of people, more people understood it, actually understand it point blank, even whites that I would not consider in any way, shape, manner, or form awakened are sending emails understanding what we're getting at a lot more than I originally thought. I thought they would have to watch it 2 and 3 times. Most of them are just watching it the second, third time just to watch stuff in the background, stuff. They're getting it. A lot larger numbers than I thought. And I think a lot of people are aware of the Jewish double standards. What I think the internet plays a huge role there, but that's what kind of shocked me. Because obviously when you start talking about the actual numbers, you're not going to be able to put 100,000 white nationalists together anywhere on this planet because there's no such thing. There's well over 100,000 white people on the internet surfing our sites that are concerned about the same things. They just don't call themselves white nationalists. But you're not going to be able to put those numbers together, or even paleoconservatives probably. That's a huge number of viewers for the first week. So,
absolutely. And the time
they consider it, I think, somewhat entertaining. I think you got to entertain white rabbits, put stuff over their head, make them reach up for it if you're not just trying to educate them. We're not insulting their intelligence at all. We're just putting stuff right above their heads.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's something that I think that the average Joe does get. I mean, I think actually the average Joe probably hooks into that video a little bit quicker than maybe a white nationalist would. You know,
white nationalists, all they key on is the Barbara Lerner Spectra quote and the flip the script. Obviously, we're doing that. That's what they key on. That's what they get. Okay, I understand what he's doing with this. This is Barbara Lerner Spectra. The average person watching it is going to see Hitler making a diabolical speech.
Right. And you know, another thing, Horace, is I like to try to put myself in other people's shoes. Sometimes it gives you a little perspective. And if I put myself in the shoes of an anti-white, an active, you know, just vicious anti-white, so the sort of guys that you run into on the net, you know, a video like that is so demoralizing. I mean, to hear their, because they all know that quote. It's not just the white nationalists that know that quote. The guys that are your enemy, they
well, yeah,
know.
That is the first White Rabbit Radio's video. Every MP3 I've ever put out, everything I've ever said, every animation we've ever touched, always I look at from the standpoint of how is the enemy going to see this, and how is our side, we want it to obviously be moralizing, we want it to be funny, we want the kid that's 14 years old in the UK that's busting his tail posting on the Swarm, or maybe he's out there posting the Mantra, not posting and reporting, there's dozens upon dozens doing that, we want him to be proud of the association. We want him to say, okay, look how cool this stuff is. You know, this stuff just floats right on by the masses. We're getting a message out there deeper and deeper. You know, that's what we want. But at the same time, the enemy sees stuff like this. And, you know, typically what our side engages in, and I'm not opposed to it, is education. Education about black crime. It's just education. It's total factual. It's truthful information. And the challenge comes back to demoralization, ways around demoralization, and other things like that, and why I don't particularly go that route. But one of the challenges is it never really gets the big views very quickly. You're not going to really be able to deliver a threat consistently. In other words, if you're putting out a video on black crime, someone at the ADL or SPLC is not going to start making phone calls over it. They're not going to get all too worried about it.
Yeah. Well, no.
Even the average white guy that's concerned will like watching it. The average white woman will like watching it. It's never going to get the large views. You've got to really go from another direction to do something like that and start penetrating much, much wider audiences.
Well, one of the first time this really came home clear to me what it's all about is I was talking to our mutual acquaintance, Lord Nelson, and he used the example of somebody shooting at you. You don't say, stop, let me explain why I'm a nice guy and you shouldn't shoot at me. You know, instead you've got to make, you know, shoot back, give him some reason to duck down and go on the defensive, or else, you know, you're not gonna.
Right, if someone's engaged in psychological warfare, you're not going to be able to debate that person. You're going to have to engage in some, you're going to have to fight fire with fire on some level. But you can do so from a legitimate perspective, from positive associations. One of the challenges is you have such an overwhelming, amount of facts, that can be presented against the average white man or woman on any given day, just to overwhelm them by what they see on the streets and everything else, that you have to do something. You know, there's one fact that can't be taken out of the equation. They're white and they can do anything. You know, there was a time when the overwhelming facts were against whites migrating to America as well. The Indians outnumbered them in the suburbs and the whole nine yards. We all know how that story went. So it doesn't mean any, overwhelming facts don't mean anything if you're white. Because those can change pretty quickly. One of the challenges is when you hit them with the basic information, whether it be black crime over and over again, the immigration stats over and over again, and all that type of stuff, what they inevitably results in is you freeze them. You freeze them down into place. You really have to back up that stuff with something to do. But you just freeze them into place. In other words, they're totally paralyzed, totally terrified. That's one of the challenges.
You know, it reminds me of this evening, Horace. I was sitting around outside, and my little boy is like 2 years old, running around, and this dog comes running down the street. And it's not a big dog, but it's bigger than him, and bowls him over, starts licking him all over, and he starts crying and everything. And the dog's a hyperactive puppy, and it runs off. And next time it comes back, I give him a little stick. And I told him, wave that stick at the dog. And, of course, the dog went around him this time because he had the stick. And 5 minutes later, my little boy is chasing the dog around with a stick, whereas 5 minutes before he was scared to have his mind getting bowled over on it. And, you know, it's just psychologically being on the offensive instead of the defensive. And the thing that struck me ever since I've been involved in the struggle is how many people were on the defensive. And it was when I first listened to your show, your very first podcast, I said, wow, this guy is positive. And, you know, it's the difference between winning and losing is whether or not you can be on the offensive and put your opposition on the, you know, take the moral high ground and put them on the ropes.
Yeah, there are some people that say, you know, well, it's always the same thing over and over again. You would think by now they would get a clue. They just really don't understand the mantra of what we're doing, basically. That's the only complaint. The enemy doesn't understand completely well we're imposing terminology. We're getting out our terminology, you know. You know, there was a time when the word racist and when the word anti-Semite has always meant something. Sometimes in the history of Europe, it's had positive connotations, like you join an anti-Semitic society and you're cool. Could happen again. But the word racist is pretty much modern in its usage. It developed over the last 100 years. And there was a time when it was a very sophisticated term and no one really knew what it meant, but that didn't stop them from shoving it down everyone's throat. You know, that's the complaint now. No one uses the word anti-white every day and stuff like this. Well, that's why we're using it. That's why we're going to grind it into their skulls. And pretty soon they will be using it every day, just like the word racism.
Well, and you made a very good point early on in one of your podcasts that, you know, it's like that stick in my kid's hand. Once he realizes that it has power, no one's going to take that thing away from him. He's going to keep waving it around and keep chasing the dog with it. And that's the same thing. You know, you give somebody a tool, you know, you give them a phrase that they can use that works. You know, as soon as the first time they say, you're anti-white, you know, you're saying that because I'm white, you're anti-white, they're never going to forget that.
From the anti-white point of view, from the anti-white perspective, and just keep saying stuff like that, keep digging at the fact that they're anti-white.
Right. You know. Right. And, I mean, it's name-calling, and it's so...
See, we're starting the same way, although we're probably further ahead because of the internet than our enemy would have been at one time by, you know, using the word racist over and over again. I mean, the word anti-white is just, it's all over the place, and it will be. And it will be. But, you know, there's a certain basics that you're going to have to follow to do anything correctly. Worrying about people not being sophisticated enough, that's important for education. That's not important for imposing terminology or anything like that, you know.
No, well, and it's effective, you know. I mean, you look at the effect that the anti-whites had going back to the 1960s, and a lot of these guys were not bright. I mean, we're talking about stoned-out hippies. But
there was two types of our enemy. There was those that could just repeat things over and over again. They do that very well. There were those that learned the game, you know, just yell racism, get what you want. They would repeat things over and over again. Then there was another type that were very sophisticated professors and stuff like that. You know, it'd be as if you mix our stuff with, you know, Thomas Lapsunik or one of these journals that Kevin MacDonald would write or something like that. You mix the two and you end up with that, because there were some communists that were pretty sophisticated as far as sophisticated, let's put it that way, sounding very theoretical and everything else. You know, they had that going for them. It was one extreme or the other. We always had one extreme. We just didn't have the other.
I just like winning. And, you know, I mean, I like listening to high ideas and complicated stuff. I love listening to it. You know, it's mind candy for me to listen to some of these really smart dudes. But the bottom line is, you know, I just want to take some ground, you know, and I just want to win. And if it's repeating something over and over again, if that does a trick, I'm all for it.
Well, that's the worst. That's the template we're following, is the fall of the Soviet Union and what they were doing.
Yeah, so let me ask you.
There was a lot of sophisticated arguments over the fall of the Soviet Union. They were making sophisticated arguments all day long on why it would last forever and why it would have to fall, but those sophisticated arguments didn't do anything.
What did do it?
They were planting memes over and over again. They're pointing out the contradictions. You end up in a situation in a closed society where everyone knows it's bogus. Everyone knows the emperor has no clothes. But the fact that the emperor has no clothes, the fact that he's in front of you on TV all the time or on radio or on Soviet propaganda, the fact that he's doing that is in fact demoralizing, because it makes you feel powerless against it. Yes, it's a lie. Yes, you're being forced to live a lie. Yes, you're being forced to observe a lie every single day, and there's nothing you can do about it. And what Samizdat did, and as well as in many instances the copying machine, because that's what allowed it to spread, was they started making fun of it in a big way. You know, like the basic memes that Bob was writing, you know, if the Soviet Union is such a great workers' paradise, this is such a great workers' paradise, why do we need guards at the borders with machine guns to keep people from leaving? They were pointing out the basic contradiction at a very basic level that everyone could observe over and over again, very similar to what we're doing.
Well, yeah.
It's a similar type system. There was nothing sophisticated about it. But you end up in a situation that we're in. Everyone sees the emperor has no clothes. Everyone sees that it's racial. Everyone sees that what's going on with, whether it be Mexican immigration here or Muslim immigration in Europe or Asian migration in Australia, what the government stated policy is. Everyone sees it, everyone hears it, everyone's observing it on some level. It may just be in their local neighborhood and the violence in the local neighborhood. It may not, they may not be sophisticated with immigration stats, but you know, everyone's observing it on some level. And the fact that they're observing this and the people in charge continuously lie about it or continuously contort it or continuously cover up crime, which they historically have done. In fact, they're probably only mentioning crime against whites simply because of the internet. If it weren't for the internet, I don't think they'd mention it at all. It'd be like, you know, the 80s Redux Revisited. You know, they see that over and over again. It becomes absolutely demoralizing because, I mean, these people at the top are telling bold-faced lies over and over again. And in our country, America, they do it on a host of different matters, not just racial matters. They do it across the board. That's just the, that's the big one. That's the fig leaf. That's the keystone that holds the pyramid up. You know, that type of thing.
Well, now, we're recording this on the 1st of May, 2013, and we just had Chechen bombers blow up some people up there in Boston at the marathon. And, sure. You know, a lot of people understand that diversity is not working, but when they see something like that happen, it's just demoralizing. They're really further demoralized by it.
Not necessarily that, because you can take action against that. You could take out all the Chechens out of the country very quickly. I think it was just, you know, Vladimir Putin and Russia, when they went to war with Georgia, they put all the Georgians in Moscow and other places on a train back to Georgia and stuff like that. You can do that. You can do that. But what becomes demoralizing is to find out these guys, you know, took over $100,000 in welfare and other things like that. What becomes demoralizing is to see Taliban sit there and let in more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah, and
immigration tactics and stuff like that. So it becomes demoralizing. It's unbelievable that someone could see all this and still continue down the same path, and that's what they're doing.
Right.
The demoralizing fact, it is an act that our enemy perpetrates all the time. They want you to observe reality, and they want to continuously go against it with illegitimate associations to such an extent that they want you to feel powerless that you can do anything about it.
Well, and I certainly see it every day. You know, I talk to a lot of people in my business, and when they talk about something like that bombing, and you point out, you know, that diversity isn't working, everybody understands that, but their thing is, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
But when
that's the attitude, there's nothing we can do about it, comes from the act, itself. Okay, let's say, well, you have a huge number right now online. I don't know all the nuances of the Boston Marathon bombing, but there's a huge number online that believes it was. Well, obviously the government knew these guys were here. The Russians told them they were here. The Saudis told them they were here. The Russians had them under surveillance. So you have a case where these guys are here. They're known terrorists here. They have certain elements of the FBI clearly are getting reports from Russia saying they're here. They went and interviewed these guys, but you know, they're not told to leave the country. So there's a growing number online that says it's a conspiracy, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But let's assume that that group is right. To that group saying that, what they're saying is the government knowingly and intentionally allowed terrorists to come around and attack innocent Americans. The horror and the violence itself, and the fact that they continue to perpetuate it, and the people at the top are telling such bold-faced lies and are doing it with such matter-of-fact and such brilliant acting. Well, it may not even be brilliant acting. It's just they're doing it in such a bold way. That's where it becomes demoralizing. And you can apply this pattern to what they do over and over again with everything else.
Right, and the Soviet Union itself was a failure decades and decades and decades before it finally collapsed. And it didn't collapse of exhaustion. It collapsed because it was brought down. And this is what I'm getting back to. You know, the standard stuff that we see on TV or read in the newspaper is demoralizing. But there's something that's not. And this is just clicking in my head as I'm listening to you when you're talking about what Whitaker said, you know, when he said that, what was his quote about the Soviet Union? Why is it a workers' paradise?
If it was such a wonderful workers' paradise, why do they need guards at the border? If it was a workers' paradise, because there's kind of a contradiction. A workers' paradise shouldn't have to have guards at the border to keep people from leaving.
Right, and
it's kind of common sense.
Right, and it's funny. I mean, it's gallows humor, but it's darkly funny. And because it's funny, it's not demoralizing.
Well, this is the thing. People always say, Horace, you know, the anti-racist Hitler are kind of sophisticated. How are you going to wake up white people? I'm saying, Mr. White Nationalist, you don't understand. I've never once said I'm going to wake up any white person to racially. I don't think it can be done. Whites are not racial thinkers, and that is racial. That's why we arrange our propaganda in the way we do. If it weren't that way, you would have been successful decades ago. We wouldn't be having this conversation. I mean, if you go back to the Stormfront conference, if you go back to the MP3s and what I say, there's a psychology of the con. What we're doing is waking white people up to a con, which is very workable. Most of the racially aware people aren't actually all that racially aware. They've just awoken to a con. There are three steps to awakening to the con. The first thing that happens when someone has a con perpetuated on them, someone's pulled something over on you, is you're ticked off. It's not that you're ticked off. You just won't admit that you've been conned. You won't admit you've been screwed out of money. It doesn't matter whether it's your uncle who got screwed out of money by some huckster going door to door. He doesn't want to admit it. The second stage is admittance. Admittance. You know, your uncle comes in, he says, yeah, you know, that guy got me one over on me and everything else like that. And what we know about the psychology of the con, the healthiest thing to do for that person is to get that person laughing. Nothing wrong with
yes, that. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And the whole idea of our particular type of approach is awakening the viewer to a con and to get them laughing at the con. Because the third and final step of a con that we know, the psychology of the con, is the harder they laugh, the more angry they're going to get at the con artist. Just because they're laughing at the con doesn't mean they're not going to get angry at the con artist. Everyone gets angry at the con artist. We just want them out of denial that it is a con. But it's a three-step process.
Yeah, well, because,
we're trying to get them laughing at the con. That's the whole objective.
I think that's key. I really do, because I've seen so much people trying to educate and wake people up to what's going on. Look, everybody from our generation gets it. I mean, I don't care where you live in the country, you've at least been through those neighborhoods, seen those neighborhoods taken. You know, I mean, everybody sees it, even if all you do is watch
TV. Even the highbrow anti-whites get it. They just don't want to admit it.
Right.
They're making too much money from it. But this is the thing to understand. What we know about the psychology of the con is, you know, once denial takes quite a while to get over, but once you are over that, the quickest way to get them from denial to, you know, you've got to go from reverse to drive. You got to go through neutral. To go through neutral, to go through acceptance, the easiest, fastest way is laughter.
Right.
The best way is laughter. Because laughter, when you're laughing, you're not actually demoralized.
Yes. Yes.
You're looking for a way to get back at them. Okay, where's this con artist? I'm going to take a baseball bat to him, you know, or something like that. If you get someone laughing, the next thing they're thinking about is offense. You know, about violence against the con artist or exposing the con artist to others. You know, and that's where you got a lot of these younger people and older people and everyone else coming on message is they want to get back at the con artist. And they think it's an effective way to do that, or at least to drive their anti-white parents crazy, to drive the local anti-whites crazy. The anti-whites online are getting driven up the wall.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Should see the comments coming in. The problem with anti-racist Hitler, the thing that I don't like, is that YouTube has these community guidelines, which means that White Rabbit Radio TV has to police all comments now. Everyone that has a channel on YouTube is responsible for the comments. Before, YouTube was responsible for them. Now, you know, you could have free speech and just say, oh, it's free speech and YouTube was responsible. Now, if you allow, you know, the channel owner is responsible. So if you allow someone to put up something against community guidelines, and they'll basically take down your channel. Now, community guidelines, someone would think they're very concrete and very specific. Well, in some instances, they are. you can't say nigger, you can't say kike or anything like that. In other words, if we allowed free speech and those comments came up, we'd get our channel taken down. In some instances, it's kind of vague, you know, offensive language. Well, what does that mean? You know, so it's really quite ridiculous. I would rather have free speech and let the comments roll and just to see what these idiots actually are putting in, you know. Unfortunately, we can't. So we have to spend half the time not approving comments, throwing comments out because someone's, you know, linking to porn or some ridiculous thing, and or posing as a pro white and saying 1488 kill all the Jews and niggers and blah 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 blah. You know, obviously, if you were to put up that comment on YouTube, your channel's going to get yanked.
Right.
You can't. I mean, it's just against their community guidelines. and their community guidelines aren't free speech at all, for us especially. I mean, others might be able to get away with it. YouTube will send them a warning and say, well, that went against community guidelines. You need to police those comments. For us, no, there won't be any second warning. You know. So we have to police all the comments, but it's better than not having any comments, I think. You know, it's the only thing we can do.
Absolutely.
So that's I just put up a thing on anti-racist Hitler because these anti-whites were complaining. You know, if we allow free speech, they're going to whine. If you don't allow free speech, they whine too. The only thing you can do is give them some cheese with their whine. It's really ridiculous, you know. And what the response I put up is that, you know, community guidelines. I said, our opposition whines either way. Keep the comments clean and appropriate. Keep out the porn links and foul language. Your comments will get in. I don't think it's any more basic than that. That's really all you have to do. Learn to express yourself without cursing and all this other kind of stuff they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I try to learn something from everybody, and I learned something from every one of your podcasts, but the thing I'm going to take away from this one is that the key is humor. Because you're exactly right. I've seen people try to go from that waking up straight to anger at the opposition. And if you don't go through the humor stage first, people feel like they're taking the weight of the world on their shoulders. They get demoralized. They even may go back into denial because it seems like the task is too big to shoulder.
Yeah. You got to give everyone something to do, something simple. We have an advantage because there's a huge team out there all across the planet. I mean, even if you were just a kid in Spain, there's such a massive, massive mantra and bugs network in Spain that I don't even fully know how big it is. It is huge. This stuff is spreading. And these type of animations actually are great, great advertisement for us and what we're doing because this is our message. And it's funny. It's funny. It may be dark and sadistic, but it's truthful. It's honest.
Yeah.
It's legitimate associations.
It is legitimate. That's what makes it funny. I mean, if this was just fantasy, it wouldn't be that funny. But
yeah, I mean, the anti-whites are like, well, you know, Hitler this, Hitler that, and, you know. But the fact of the matter is, if Hitler were in Israel doing this, would anyone not consider it genocide?
Right.
Come on now. It's really ridiculous, you know.
All right, man. So I can see why this is spreading like crazy in Spain. Spain is in a fix right now financially, and
Greece as well. Well, let me explain this to you. The French, what we did was we got it on the ground. One of the problems with YouTube in Europe, and this is very difficult to get, is that a lot of times they can't see our videos. They have to surf by proxies or something like that. So what we did was we got the animation on the ground in places like France. We got the animation on the ground just in case some of these situations happen. We got the animation on the ground in Germany. We got the animation on the ground in Poland. We got the animation on the ground in Greece and Spain. Everywhere that wanted it got the animation through a variety of different means so they could get it out on the streets. And get it up on the bulletin boards, get it up in the local, get it within the confines of the country's internet. Because some of these countries, like Germany, run things like China. They got their own YouTube, and their YouTube is a totally different world. So anyways, they got it up in Germany, in German, and it's got, I don't know, what, 15,000 views. I mean, it's over 10,000, but the French are going crazy. It's got like 30-some thousand views already.
Right.
And with the French language subtitles. Obviously, we want to put up all the subtitles, but the problem is, if Anti-Racist Hitler and White Rabbit Radio TV, if they're not allowed to see that channel in Germany, it doesn't matter they have German subtitles.
Right.
You know, might never know it's there, so get it into the country, let them put it into German, let it go wild that way. And that's also been, we learned that from the first one, that's also been very, very helpful in creating the buzz. I'm getting more emails from Europe than we've ever gotten. We never got this many emails from France and places like that because obviously I do an English-speaking podcast. This is all in English, and they don't necessarily listen to that, but they understand the video quite well.
Well, you could understand that video with the sound off, you know, just with the visuals.
Yeah, the Children of the Rainbow.
Yeah. So, okay, look, I've heard you say before it's the right time on the calendar. It's that time on the calendar. And it certainly seems to be.
Well, even the mainstream media are talking about that not only the failure of multicultural policies, but that the anti-racist type stuff is going downhill. There was a big article on it that came out in the UK. You know, it's the end of their cycle. It's the end of the cycle. It's the beginning of a new cycle for us.
Okay. Well, I got a question for you, because when you first started doing your podcast, you said it's this time on the calendar. You know, you got to have the right message at the right time, and everything seems to be coming together. And you gave a few landmarks for us to start seeing, you know, like start seeing the anti-whites say, I'm not anti-white, da-da-da-da-da, but, you know, and we've seen that, and we've seen it spread. We're starting to see the anti-whites getting really demoralized. What's the next thing we're going to see as this cycle ends? I mean,
what we'll see things go top down more and more. We're going to see one morning you're going to walk out, and big event. It's something I don't know what will happen, Truck, but I have faith that my race, not necessarily the dopes behind us or the dopes like us, but there's someone way ahead of us. And what'll happen is once a consistent message is out there, it gives certain players already in the game, way above us, whether it be in politics, whether it be the local level, whether it be the local police, it gives them room to move when you have a message on the offense. So what we will see is most likely certain events go our way, big events go our way. It could be a big event that just ends up things fall into our lap. It could be someone coming out on message from a very high position that explodes something. It could be, you know, the only thing I can do as the as Dr. Duke calls me, David Duke calls me the chief white rabbit, is make sure things are designed to give, whether it be a 14-year-old white kid in the UK or someone at the very top, all the tools necessary to be associated with something very, very successful. So they can look at something and say, okay, now it's the time for me to start striking. You know, that's all we can do is to build into that with larger and larger. You know, once you have a consistent message out there, I always say you want to start putting out the body blows. What could be a potential body blow to the system? Anti-racist Hitler, could it be that? Worse things have brought down a lot bigger systems, you know, than something parodying what's really going on. But the next big thing will be something big. It'll be something unexpected. It'll be unpredictable. It'll be out the corner, out of the blue, and it'll fall right into our laps. When you do the basics and you go back to the beginning, if you listen to Follow the White Rabbit from the beginning, I talk about the basics. And if you look at what I'm saying and look at what has occurred, it's not that it's magic, although it is. It's not that it's anything mythical, although it can have those qualities. It's the fact that the basics always work.
Well, and you know, it
you know, you can't have, if you have a media as large as ours online and you have no message, it's kind of like Fox News. What would the neoconservatives be with Fox News without a message? Well, they wouldn't be going anywhere. They wouldn't have anything. When you have a message, even if it's a lie, if you have a big enough media, you can go anywhere in the short term. Now, we have the truth, and you have to always consider that. But something big will happen. I'm not sure what it'll be, where it'll come from, but it'll happen. It'll happen, and it'll say, in hindsight, it'll be okay. Well, that was rather obvious, you know. And who knows? It could be message-based. It could fall right into our message. It could be one way, shape, manner, or form. Things will just start falling in our favor.
Well, you just mentioned Fox News, and I know Bob Whitaker, he used to work with Hannity, and he used to work with O'Reilly when they were at Voice of Reason. Not Voice of Reason, Voice of America, propaganda thing. And he said himself that these guys are not very bright. And you'll get that, you know, when you're watching them on Fox News or something. They can stay on consistent message. You don't have to be smart to stay on consistent message.
Got notes, they got teleprompters, they got all kinds.
Right, they got writers, you know, like Bob Whitaker writing for them, etc.
Sure.
But they will be blindsided. I mean, these guys won't know it's over until they're sitting, you know, in a jail cell somewhere or they're in trouble or something. What about the foreign countries? Because I remember you saying early on that, you know, if you're in China, if you're in the establishment in China or, you know, Latin America or somewhere like that, you know, these guys have a lot better perspective on our situation than we do. We're so close to it, we're kind of blind to it. But
well, I don't think they know how to come out and talk about it. Because race is now, because this garbage has spread from the English-speaking world to the rest of the Western civilization and through Hollywood and stuff like that, a lot of this garbage has spread to the rest of the world. So they don't necessarily know how to talk about it.
No, but I am certain they are concerned about it, because as you
know, what I'm saying is with a consistent message out there, that's one of the scenarios in mind, is that the bubble has popped not by anything our race does, but because someone stands up at the UN and points out a couple obvious facts. That if this was being done against any other group of people, it would be genocide. Well, you know, once you start getting that type of thing happening, standing up, but it could happen. It could happen from our enemy has plenty of enemies. To do that, though, you have to have a consistent message out there blaring. You have to have things out there, in my opinion, like anti-racist Hitler, that puts it in very stark terms. You have to have things like that out there. Once that is out there, things like that can happen. Sure. Sure.
You mentioned one time that the Chinese look at our situation and they wonder what we're going to do with this energy flow when this thing breaks. And there is no doubt in my mind that when the population reaches the humor stage where they're laughing at the anti-white policies and then they get to the anger part, when they get to the anger part, there's going to be an insane amount of energy that's got to go somewhere. And I know all the guys on Stormfront are living for that one day when they get to tell off, you know, the blacks that have been passing them
this could break in a lot of unconventional ways. But what the Chinese are doing, if you look at what they're doing, is they're partnering with the Russia, which of course is partnering with the Germans, which of course, if you listen to tonight's podcast in Endgame Exotica, you'll find out that the biggest meeting in a decade has happened between, of course, the Japanese and the Russians. So you have a new axis forming. Russia's within the BRIC nations, Germany's within Western civilization, and Germany is preparing, its cards are very close to its vest, but they're preparing for some type of clean break. And the Germans still have an Air Force base out west in America, which makes me feel safe. Some of these groups are playing a lot of games. You know, you get with the Germans, and if you look at Germany acting within the EU, you think they're running patsy for the banksters, because that's what it sounds like. Then all of a sudden the Germans, elements in Germany will turn around and demand their gold back from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which is a pretty volatile statement. The last time anyone said that was in the Third Reich. So you got some cross currents coming here. It's like they're all preparing for the death of our enemy.
I would always
the person doesn't realize that these guys at the top, especially when you start talking about the Jews, they're all preparing for their death or something along those lines.
Well, I'm not that familiar with geopolitics and stuff, so I would imagine, you know, if I were an elite in China and I realized that things were starting to turn in the West or something, you know, I'd maybe send somebody to make contact with David Duke or try to position myself so that, you know, whoever ends up on top, I have some contacts with them.
Well, there is an anti-communist front that is huge in Taiwan. It runs through elements of the nationalistic Chinese. It runs through elements in Korea, obviously. It runs through Japan, most certainly. But they all have right-wing links coming back into Europe and stuff like that. So those links are well there. What they would want to do is stay out of the way of anything. Obviously.
But
that may be unavoidable. I mean, one of the problems is, you know, let's say, you know, I call it the red hippopotamus. Our enemy's God, the God of the pink rabbits. But, you know, if you're ready to go down and you're ready to go down for the count in a big way, everything is ready to go on you. Our enemy's playbook is very blatant historically. If you go back to when they made their breakout of Venice, if you go back to all the stuff they've done, you're always dealing with conflict and scarcity, and they always throw giant wars to get out of their problems. And historically, they've done quite well. World War II probably came back and haunted them in several ways. This next war probably will as well, and everyone's preparing for that war. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing about the news, is everyone's preparing for war. It's one thing, you know, everyone has an army, everyone has an air force, everyone has some type of navy these days, but not most people just have armies and some type of air force. Not everyone has that big of a navy, believe it or not. So white nations. But anyways, you know, you have these armies, and these armies are, if you got an army, of course you want to put it on a drill. If you got a SWAT team, you know, SWAT teams go and do drills every week or every month or whatever. It's no different with an army. It's like they're always on drills, but the drills going on around the planet are quite eye-opening. They're quite outrageous. There's an emergency drill happening in Israel. This Sunday it starts. They're calling up every single reservist, you know, preparing some kind of disaster drill with Syria or something like that. But there are continuous, outrageous number of these going on by every major and minor power on the planet at the same time in an overwhelming, overlapping way. So I would say that they're all preparing for Team Pink Rabbit to throw one of their giant wars. You know, that's what it looks like to me. That's the trend. But that's typically how they try to get out of their problem. They throw a giant war and you go from the League of Nations to the United Nations. Throw a giant war and you go from the United Nations to a global empire implicitly, you know, some new world order, some globalist fantasy they have. So that's the only thing I could tell you. You know, that's what everyone's preparing for. Now, what that means, where it goes, what ends up happening, well, that's been the subject of a lot of speculation. You know, but that's the trend we can all observe. But that's what these guys get in trouble, they go to war.
So if they're having trouble internally, they're going to try to have an external threat to focus everybody on that or something.
Well, I think that's one of the things, but I think their problems are so great. The only thing they can try to do, and this is what bothers a lot of people, is to go for one of their crazy Hail Mary scenarios, which they do have the technological capabilities, I believe, to throw some type of curveball at planet Earth, maybe.
Okay,
you know, but really do something crazy, because their problems, we look at their problems racially. Their problems aren't just, I mean, their problems are across, when your problems are racial, your problems are across the board. All the racial listeners know that. You've got manufacturing problems because guess what? Multiracial countries can't do manufacturing that well. You've got a variety of different problems that all start piling up on you. And everyone on the planet that hates them knows about all these problems. So the only clean way they've ever been able to get out of their problems is by throwing big wars through conflict. The problem with this one is everyone's prepared for it, whether it be on our side, on the side of Team Pink Rabbit, or against it. I've never seen lines drawn so evenly, you know, these two sides. Behind Syria and Iran, you can most certainly see it. Now, how it ends up is anyone's guess. I don't know.
Well, if I was a Pink Rabbit, okay, what would scare me is the fact that everybody at the control points who would really matter in my warfare machine is white. I mean,
that's the problem. That is one of the fundamental problems. They have an enemy within their door, and they can't pin it down.
Well, absolutely.
You're banking on everyone, and there's quite a few at the top. Banking on a lot of people at the top being traitors right now in Western civilization, in the English-speaking world specifically, is a home run bet. Betting that every single one on down is a traitor. I think that's one of the reasons, to be quite honest with you, they like Jews at so many of those positions.
Well, I've talked to guys that worked in the State Department and stuff, and there are a lot of Jews at you know, different positions. Sure. But, you know, when you get down to it, like,
they're not all.
No, and when you get down to, like, the intelligence agencies, you get down to the guys at the
not all there.
Really complex systems inside the military at the really big control points.
Yeah.
You have to have a certain personality, a certain level of intelligence, a certain thing that just makes it almost, it has to be our people in those positions. And you can't stop guy.
They couldn't breathe a word of it. There's been a large effort at a very quick pace to get rid of a lot of white males in certain positions. It's backfired in many ways. It's caused a lot of problems in many ways. In some ways, it's been effective of getting them out of there. But the problem is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you go back to the huge spy scandals, they always like to talk about the Chinese stealing this and that. Well, the ones that have really stole a lot are the Russians.
Right.
You got these white guys handing everything over to Russia. It's been a huge spy scandals are always involving Russia. Richard Ames, all this type of stuff like this, as well as the Jews who are, you know, different elements spying for Israel and whatnot, which we don't know as much about. I think there's as much stuff going on with Russia, guys turning things over to Russia, as the Chinese could ever hope for, because the Chinese just aren't filling that many positions at the top, at the mid-level, at the various different places yet. You know, it's just one of those type of things. It's a disaster. This is all a disaster.
Yeah, because there's really no one to replace us. I mean, over there in South Africa, they had, like, their version of affirmative action, and they tried to put all these blacks into, like, running this new power plant, and they started having electricity failures, and they had to break own affirmative action rule to bring more whites in. So,
sure.
I mean, if you're a Pink Rabbit, if you're at the top of society, and you know, all the guys that you're controlling.
The problem we have is this. What you will find out is they are in their own little world. And they don't realize, the only a handful at the top realize how bad things are closing in on them. The others are starting to realize it, and that's where the panic comes. I mean, more, I mean, look, if you go back and listen to the podcast, over and over again, I point out these huge things happening on the planet. Large museums being built out of nowhere. Various different things happening, going with their globalist agenda, but they're going at a breakneck speed, like they're preparing for something. I don't know how they could prepare to take down the planet without doing something over the top, and they may very well fall flat on their face. Because I don't think this war is going to go that well for them. If that's what they're planning at all. They might be planning just some type of flashpoint, but they are planning something. They have a few tricks up their sleeve. They're not going to roll over and play dead. If they fall flat on their face, that's fine, but, the infighting among these groups is epic.
Well,
Brzezinski has talked about the infighting of the Western elites. The infighting, everything is failing on them. If you look at the policies that went on in the Middle East, the Iraq, the Afghanistan, trying to democratize the place, and there were some of the elements that were cynical about it and just want to destroy the place, like the neocons, but some of them actually believed that they could pull this off. That is all a colossal failure now. So how do you make it better? You can't. You haven't taken down Iran. You haven't taken down the Shia Crescent that's forming. They're threatening the House of Saud, potentially. They definitely can threaten Israel. So how do you do that? Well, you're going to have to create a bigger disaster. So their disasters just keep on mushrooming, really. I just don't know what all they're preparing to do. I know what they've said they're preparing to do or what they said they're capable of doing. You know, you can look at the sci-fi movies and get all that. Those memes are well out there. But I don't know if they will pull the trigger on something crazy. And crazier than going to war. And war is crazy as it is. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
This is going to be interesting. I don't think
we're going to see very quickly, though. I believe we're leading. In-game Exotica is coming to the end of the road. We're going to start seeing them play their cards. We're going to see the Germans play their cards. We're going to see these groups starting to line up against each other, and we're going to see what they've been hiding, what whole cards they're hiding. We're going to start seeing it more and more. It's just like it's become more blatant. If you were one of my early listeners and you talked about the Russian-German axis, all but a handful of someone very informed would look at you like you were crazy. Now everyone's talking about it. Glenn Beck is talking about it. Everyone's talking about this Russian-German axis and who's really behind the scenes in Germany, what games they're playing within Europe and everything else. Everyone's talking about that. What's going to happen is this war, this next step they're trying to take, more and more people are going to recognize these guys are in trouble and they're going to go for something very big. Now, whether they'll recognize it before they actually all hell breaks loose in Syria or whatever they got planned, whatever their game plan is. It looks like they're going to try to pull Libya and Syria. I don't think it's going to work that way. And Libya is a disaster anyway, so.
Well, before we wrap up this show, Horst, I got one last question for you because I saw a post.
The only thing we can do, though, let me add this. The only thing we can do is, I mean, just look at the trends. I do enough speculating on that. I'm just observing the trends going on. Understand that they don't have it all together. They ain't got it all figured out. Our enemy is very vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And now we are at perfect time. There's a reason we're putting out animations that are getting that type of traffic. It's not getting that type of traffic. I guess you could say, well, it's just getting that horse because it's a funny animation or it involves Hitler. But even How Whites Took Over America got 150,000 views very quickly in the first month before they took it down. Ours is on anti-racist Hitler is on track for probably double that. But that is pretty astounding that an animation like that could get that many views from a no-name group out there on the internet that quickly. And it's quite long. So there's a thirst and a hunger for our type of message.
Yeah.
And that benefits everyone that understands that across the board.
You can't stop some guy in some control point in the government from watching anti-racist Hitler. I mean, basically, you'd have to have YouTube shut it down.
No, you're going to have all kinds of fans. You're going to have all kinds of fans of that for various different reasons. Because anti-racist Hitler is, again, you're dealing with open system propaganda. People are watching it for various different reasons. We're not saying Jews are evil, Jews are evil, Jews are evil. We're not engaging any type of education like, you know, Jews said this, Jews said that. We're engaging full propaganda and we're mirroring the situation as best we can and making it as entertaining as we know how.
Okay, one last question for you, man, because I know that a lot of times you agree with Bob Whitaker, sometimes you don't. But recently on his site, he posted a post, and I think a lot of us are starting to feel a little bit of the euphoria of starting to win, and I think a lot of us can see the tide turning. And he made a post that talked about staying in formation. You know, he uses this metaphor of the Roman soldiers with their short swords. And he said, you know, sometimes you start winning, but you can lose it at the end if you break rank. How important do you think it is to, like, stay on the same mantra, you know, white genocide message, maybe, you know?
Well, you don't lift your foot until your enemies, you know, until your enemies suffocate it. So, you know, you just stay on message. Just stay on message. Even if we've got something won, even if, you know, ships land and are going to take us to another white heaven or something. An all-white planet, you know. Even if we got everything won, lock, stock, and two smoking barrels, you just stay on message until the end. That's what he's saying. Another thing is, too, Bob doesn't have the best feedback mechanisms. I used to write elaborate reports. I don't have time for that, so I'm starting to have others. So he doesn't actually see what's going on out there if it's not in the swarm. The problem is that the swarm is only making up a fraction now. It's making up an important fraction, but it's only making up a fraction. We've got a lot of out there not posting in the swarm so much. That's what I see. I see the emails. I see things going on. But since anti-racist Hitler, he's been pretty pleased. He's been pretty pleased.
I saw that.
Because
yeah.
it's about as pure mantra as you can get. And it's, you know.
And you're not getting off this mantra thing in the foreseeable future then?
No, not until not until it's over and done with. Not until it's over and done with, no.
Right.
Now, if it's over and done with, then it'll be a point of history, you know. We'll have to see what's over and what's done with, too, you know. But I can tell you, if you look at things across the board, whatever these guys are doing at the top, their playbook always calls for war. War and expanding territories or something involving scarcity. They already got the global warming meme, which they're not doing well with either. But war is something they can do. And so that's what it looks like they're going to play. I think the problem with those particular dice that you roll them, things can happen, things can go very, very wrong. And I think the reason they haven't rolled it yet is because they don't know the outcome.
Is it time against them? I mean, aren't they up against the clock here? Because, I mean,
people know their playbook, too many people hate them. You know, it's kind of like this. You got this bully on the block, and you act like he's your friend. You've got to do business with him. You're only acting like that because you're afraid he's going to kick your ass. You're afraid he's going to do something to you. Then all of a sudden, everyone starts ganging up on this bully. This bully's vulnerable not only from outside, but from within his own house. Now all of a sudden people are ganging up on him within his own house. Next thing you know, it's funny, but everyone wants to come out against the bully.
Right.
You know, everyone wants to be against the bully. No one really likes bullies, even if you say you like them. You don't like them.
Right.
So that's what's happening now to what I call, you know, Big Jew and Little Jew, America and Israel. You know, that's what's happening. I mean, this is what Brzezinski, that one of the main elites, the elite that picked Obama, in my opinion, that's the problem that they have, is the whole world is ticked off. The whole world is wise to them. You know, Obama exercises foreign policy radically different than Bush. Brzezinski is far more clever in various different things, working various different angles. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what they got cooking. All we can do is stay on message, but I will say that in this type of thing, the Green Goddess is very real. You know, she's the Godzilla. She's out there working on our behalf. She's that ephemeral quality in the white rabbits out there making things happen between the lines, whether it be the inventing the internet or getting out a message, putting the message in the right hands at the right time. You just got to count that that's going to happen and operate with some type of faith that the future will deliver the goods for us and can deliver it very quickly. But if you're not on message, if you're not preparing for success, well, you can never succeed, really. So, you know, that's really the only thing I could tell you is big things tend to happen when you're doing things the right way.
Well, big things seem to be happening and the message seems to be working, so I'm just going to stay on message until you tell me otherwise.
That's the moral to the story. Yeah, you'll know when the data, well, even the data come off message might be a story about the message. It may be a big story in itself. I don't know. You know, trying to predict the future with a bunch of white rabbits, I've always said it's impossible. It's impossible to do. DARPA, the people that invented the internet, the people that came out with the idea of the internet originally. I don't know the actual guy's name. Different guys take credit for it, like Al Gore. But DARPA is this, you know, the government agency, the part of the government that does these top secret next generation projects. They came out with just something that was over the top ridiculous. They said in 100 years we're going to have a warp drive. Now, if anyone's ever watched Star Trek, You know what a warp drive is. If you watch Star Wars, you know what a warp drive is. The idea that we're going to have a warp drive, to me, is far-fetched and ridiculous 100 years from now, because I'm looking at standard aviation. But maybe they know something I don't. I mean, 30 years ago, when we were young, Truck, if someone told us there's going to be an internet and described it, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're 5 or 3 or 10 or 12, you're going to be laughing at the internet because no one could think something like that's possible. So we really don't know.
The funny thing is that the kids today, like the teenagers today, would laugh at trying to imagine anything without the internet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Humans love open system. They love open systems. They always go toward open systems. We have certain elements that always go against nature. Pink rabbits always go against nature, and they're always invented these closed systems. You know, they're always trying to argue a position that always puts us in a world without any white people. And sooner or later, that's not going to hunt. They're going to recognize it for what it is. It's a con. It's a shell game. It's a closed system. But humans are very, very unique. In general, our race specifically, that's all we build. All we build is these big open systems. One of the downsides is they can be hijacked by others with bad intentions. But generally, humanity wouldn't, as much as they certain elements maybe hate certain parts of the internet, they wouldn't want anyone to take it down.
Well, I think, yeah, I think it's...
The only ones that hate the internet are the elites.
Yeah, and I think it's getting where they can't remove it really without ripping out significant
parts
of the
system. Well, they can't remove it without a lot of global cooperation from certain parties. Can they get enough global cooperation? I don't know.
Well, look, man, this show's running long. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that I'd like to talk about on this. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you talk about closed systems, and next time maybe we could talk a little bit about the ultimate closed.
Anti-racist Hitler is open system programming. It's I think we're probably the first of our kind to do something along those lines. That's why it gets so many different views, because people are watching it for different reasons. It's not the traditional type of closed system programming you're seeing out of Hollywood where whites are evil, whites are bad, whites are evil, whites are bad. There's nothing really creative about that. It's just Joseph Goebbels without the flash and flare of the Nazi uniforms and all that kind of stuff like that. Well, without the flash and flare, period. You know, the only thing Hollywood disagree with in regards to Goebbels is who they wanted to genocide. This is all Goebbels' playbook, demonize a group and everything else, but it's very old, it's very stale. We're not really doing any of those things in our animations. We're doing something, putting it right above people's heads, letting them reach up and get into it on their own. And that is what I would call open system programming.
Right, right. I love that. Diversity is good. Diversity is our strength. Diversity is why the Middle East is so peaceful.
And diversity has saved Israel.
Yeah. Everybody check out that video.
This is H. Avenger, and we will be back with you in the next episode. We're going to try to have on the infamous Edelheim, and we're going to talk Mantra. He's one of the resident geniuses. He's the one that originally wrote the short story of anti-racist Hitler way back when. A little bit different script, but at the same time, the concept is his. So he'll be with me and Truck Roy next time, if all goes well.
See you guys.
Take it easy. And keep the station tuned right here to WhiteRabbitRadio.net.
White Rabbit Radio.